You mean bad moms, Jay Hernandez?
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Yeah, good morning.
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Scher.
Top of the morning to ya.
And today we are going to be doing a mini-pod.
Ragnapod.
Oh, a Ragnapod. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh, that sounds almost like Arthropod or something like that.
I don't know how you guys could ever be surprised when I do that.
Well, it's been a while since we've done a mini-pod.
I guess so, yeah.
It has been quite a while, but we'll be doing a mini-pod of Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, by the way, that's an interesting thing. Immigrant Song is played in this a couple of times. There used to be a time where Led Zeppelin was prohibitively expensive for studios.
Yes.
And I don't know if they got, I think maybe Cameron Crowe got like a discount for Almost Famous.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, and that's the whole joke in Wayne's World, that he can't play Stairway.
Yeah.
And he can't even play the actual notes when they're making that joke.
Yeah.
And I guess somebody went to them and said, guys, you guys are literally wasting millions of dollars because your price is so high. Come on, can you knock it down? Like, let's make it a little bit more competitive. Now you hear Led Zeppelin songs everywhere.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, yeah, let's cash in on this while we're still, you know, alive. Anyway, Thor Ragnarok came out this weekend, made $121 million domestically. Not too shabby at all. It I believe the seventh all-time in Marvel's history.
For opening
weekend, yeah. And so what do we think about this movie, Thor Ragnarok?
Boy, it's getting a lot of praise, isn't it?
It is, and I think most of it is founded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually, this is one of those instances where Rotten Tomatoes just got it right on the nail for me. Because like, I came back and I looked at Rotten Tomatoes, and it was 95% fresh, which means 95% of the critics on Rotten Tomatoes liked it.
Right.
But the average score was 7.1 out of 10. That's pretty much right where I'm at.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a really good time. I laughed a lot. But it's paper thin, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like on Twitter, I called it cotton candy. Mm-hmm. It's just tasty air. Mm-hmm. It's really all it is.
Yeah.
I really much enjoyed the fact that it was that, though. I was really, really glad that it wasn't heavy.
Yeah.
Because I am... I'm so tired of hearing about Infinity Stones,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so tired of hearing about this, you know, this big, big picture that they've been creating all this time. This movie is completely, like, on its own. It's its own thing, and I enjoyed it so much that it didn't have anything to do with the larger story at
right.
all. It was a breath of fresh air after seeing all these other movies. That last Thor the Dark World.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Was so, so bad. I mean, it was a bad movie. That was just a bad movie. And it wasn't, I mean, it had maybe some humor in it, but mm-hmm. this one just like, let's just kind of, this should have been the Thor that introduced us to Thor.
I guess so. I mean, what's weird is that they chose this outside of Guardians of the Galaxy, but the central MCU movie, they chose Thor to be this comedic showpiece,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he's arguably the only times that it's rung for humor in the first one is that he's a fish out of water, right? Like
mm-hmm.
he's not a comedic character.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that he doesn't know the rules of the land and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of odd that they chose him to like crack wise throughout this
yeah.
whole movie. It works. He's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, it's funny. It's definitely funny. Now I will say not all the humor works for me.
Mm.
Like Hulk has a big dick.
Yeah.
Awesome. give me 30 seconds to recover from the laughter I have for that moment. Like, or you know, Hulk is bouncing a ball in the background. Actually, my biggest gripe about this movie is I think there's too much Hulk. I think he works better in smaller doses.
Mm-hmm.
And in truth, my actual biggest gripe about this movie is with the marketing department, because can you imagine what you would have felt if you hadn't known Hulk was going to be in this movie?
Right.
When you get to that gladiator scene and he shows up and that whole, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been euphoric.
Yeah.
It's the best moment in the whole movie, and they tipped it from the very first trailer on.
It is a funny moment, and you could hear it. Chris and I were in the theater, and you have a pause. Yes, I know him from work. And there was a couple of little snickers, but that's it. Like, yeah. You could have really mined that for a big laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, it's almost like, I don't know. Is there really any secrets these days that they could keep? Even though, yes, what you're saying is we're seeing the actual scene and we're not hearing that Hulk is in the movie. Or
I
whatever.
Mean, yeah, I would have, if you'd have told me Hulk's in the movie and I still didn't know how, I still think I would have gotten a little bit more out of that. But you're right. By the time that scene comes on in the movie, I've seen it 15 times.
Yeah.
I've already seen the GIF and all the memes. And I mean, so again, I'm not blaming the director or the actors or the filmmakers. It's disappointing to me because I feel like that would have been an amazing surprise. Instead, what they chose to keep secret was the Matt Damon cameo.
Which I didn't even catch.
Really?
No, yeah. I mean, because that was
he
going on.
He looks so different when he's doing his thing.
Right.
Like, there was a glimpse, and I was like, is that Matt Damon? And then I never saw his face, like, up close again.
Was it during the play?
Yes, the play. Yeah.
Because there was so much there. I mean, I actually mentioned to Chris, I was like, where was Sam Neill in this? Because
he
was in the
background. He's in the play, too.
Yeah. He's playing Odin, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
And then they had Luke Hemsworth playing Thor in that play. But yeah, that fight is an interesting thing because, once again, we are sort of thrust into Civil War territory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way either of those characters beat the other and win and, like, somebody dies out of it or anything like that.
Right.
We don't even know who wins.
Yeah. Well, and that was something that, you know, I was on Aaron Dicer's podcast, we were talking about, is that it would have been actually better to just not even see them fight, really.
Yeah.
Just see them, like, in the background, like, throwing each other around and stuff while Loki and Jeff Goldblum and all these other guys are talking and stuff like that. And then all the stuff with them saying, like, I won that fight and everything – would have a little bit more mystery to it. It'd be a little bit more like Rocky III, like at the end of Rocky III, where Rocky and Apollo Creed are about to fight, and it just stops in mid.
Ding.
Yeah.
Ding. What do you think of the look of this movie?
Yeah, it matches the tone. It's colorful as all hell.
Right. I mean, yeah, okay, so we've reached a point where even the director came out and said, I realize this is going to be a collaboration. This is not going to be my movie necessarily. But they gave me a little bit of room to kind of make it more visually my style. Mm-hmm. And you could see where they Marvelized it for sure. But I thought, especially when they get to the trash planet, basically, the colors there reminded me almost of like Fifth Element type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, I mean, it's got a little Flash Gordon in it. It's got a little Guardians of the Galaxy in it. And yeah, it's definitely fun, and it is sort of refreshing to have a film, at least a comic book movie, that doesn't try too hard to be serious when it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
It juxtaposes oddly with the whole Ragnarok concept to me, though, with the death and rebirth and the goddess of death. And but the whole movie is just popcorn, baby. We're just going to take everything super light. And so, you know, there wasn't really ever any doubt in my mind that they were going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to sound like I'm down. I'd give it a solid B.
No, I agree. And it's actually the first thing that I thought of, because they mentioned Ragnarok at the beginning and then they mentioned Ragnarok at the end. But like, this movie has very little to do with Ragnarok.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it does. If you want to really go deep, it's symbolic of what the new sort of thinking about what Asgard is and what it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does sort of symbolize that. I mean, I like Ragnarok better than Thor, A New Beginning, or something like The New Chapter.
Thor
Takes Manhattan.
Thor in Space.
Right, Thor in Space. Thor X. So yeah, I'm going to give this an A-. The only thing about this is, and Barrett and I watched this movie together, and we were talking about this afterwards, it's really hard to tell, and this is hard to tell in all the movies, what their powers are and who really has the advantage and what is the real weaknesses. And and everything. It's really hard to tell. I mean, in the end, it's they do something different. They don't. This does not. I mean, this is not spoilery, I don't think. They do not resort to a whole bunch of punching in the end. It's mm-hmm. not Thor up against somebody who's just like Thor, and they are punching each other until finally some nonsense happens that, you know, makes it all work. But that's really the only problem I have with it. Cate Blanchett, I think, could have been given a better character.
Yeah.
What's funny is that I enjoyed her, but I didn't enjoy her character.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I could tell that she was having fun.
Yeah,
I wasn't having as much fun.
Yeah.
Well, and not only is the character not well drawn out, it's basically Maleficent.
Yeah, yeah.
The character is Maleficent. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah.
I was bothered in that climax on the Rainbow Bridge. That when you take Thor and Cate Blanchett out of the equation, of course, Hulk is fighting a dog in the water. But basically, the Valkyrie chick, Loki, Heimdall, everyone seems to be equal there. Like they're just slicing through the baddies, and it's just meaningless noise to me. Mm. I would rather have gone underwater with Hulk and the dog and just watch that whole fight rather than keep cutting back. Oh, good, Loki's. By the way, Loki. It's just a pawn in this movie.
Yeah.
The screenwriter is just like, I need this to happen. Loki, you're going to do it. Well, you're my guy.
And they're obviously setting him up for, you know, the next movies and everything, because there's some scenes in there that make you realize, okay, he's up to no good again. And he's going to be a major part of probably Infinity War and all that. And, you know. Doing his stuff. Of course, everybody's going to be a major part of Infinity War.
Well, that's the thing, and I've probably said this a dozen times now, but I'm watching this movie and I'm just I can't help but think, how's it going to play when Captain America is fighting side by side with a talking space raccoon?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How is that going to play?
Yeah,
because I think the silliness of the space alien world that Marvel's created is going to invade the more serious real world Earth movies more than the other way around.
Right.
I don't think Cap can go to space and make a Guardians type environment feel real.
Right.
With real stakes. So I'm very extremely terribly nervous about all that.
Yeah, we were literally talking about that on the way out of the theater, is that where do the human characters, in fact, I brought up Black Widow. What the fuck is Black Widow going to do?
Yeah.
Like she's already been pretty worthless, but now
yeah.
She's going to have like what? She's going to have some, I don't know what she's going to do. She's going to, oh God, I don't know. I'm really, really nervous about this whole
thing. She's going to, she's going to cock a gun somewhere.
Yep.
She's going to do some karate on some aliens.
It's very effective.
Yes.
Before we get into spoilers, one thing I wanted to mention is the music for this. Not mm-hmm. only the Immigrant Song stuff, which I thought worked awesome.
Yeah.
Saw it in a great theater with great sound and everything. But overall, like this 80s type of soundtrack was awesome, and we were talking like who did this, because it sounds really good, and it's somebody that we brought up last podcast.
We brought him up very briefly, but it was Mark Mothersbaugh, who's a former Devo guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this music has an 80s electronic aesthetic to it, and it's my happy place. When I hear 80s electronic music, it makes me a kid again. But yeah, the music in this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I also really enjoyed Anthony Hopkins playing Loki playing Odin.
Yes.
that was the only time he did anything.
Yes.
It was, and I thought that was really fun, you know, because he's sleepwalking through the rest of this movie, but that moment, it was giving me some giggles.
As soon as Thor shows up, he's like, shit.
Yeah. All right, so what would you give this, Barrett?
I'm more with, kind of in Jeremy's camp, a solid B. Mm-hmm. I had more just issues, because tonally to me, there was some serious stuff. There was like, you know, super high stakes when Hela like destroys the hammer and stuff like that. And we're set
That's
up
spoiler.
To be, oh, isn't that in the,
is it in the trailer?
The trailer? I think it's in the
it
trailer.
It was in the trailer.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't watch it.
Oh yeah.
Actually, I'll interject for a moment. Uh-huh. No, finish your thought. I'll come back to mine. Go.
Well, I mean, but and then at the end, we're supposed to buy all these stakes, but then in the middle of it, and rightfully so, it's the most fun I had out of the movie. In the middle of it is this kind of caper type of let's get off, let's get back to the planet and everything. More light and funny and airy. Of course, he had the big Korg, is that his name? Like the big rock guy. Super funny stuff, but I thought there was just, tonally, I thought it was a little bit mismatched.
We're going to hop on the ship. Want to come?
Yeah. That's what's so funny to me, is that, and that's Taika Waititi, who's the director who did the voice, who we both thought was Brett McKenzie.
Immediately we thought
so. Yeah. I was sitting there laughing because it's so Brett McKenzie-like. And,
Brett McKenzie.
But yeah, like, a line like that where he's like, hey, man, we're going to get on a ship and get out of here, is not a funny line.
No.
Just the way he says it is beautiful.
Well, and then when he repeats it like 10 minutes later.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't even know who he's talking to. He's just like talking to the first person he sees. Hey, you want to come with me? So there's a lot to like. Shall we dive into the spoilers?
Let's do it.
All right.
Spoilers.
The most basic is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
No. I'm reading the books.
Okay, so the hammer scene. I'm watching the Odin dies scene.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was, can't you just go to a real cliff and film it?
Like, yeah.
And then Odin like disintegrates into light or whatever. And for a second I thought, well, maybe that's why they green screened this cliff, even though they shouldn't have had to do that. Then I read what happened. Because in the trailer, when she grabs his hammer and smashes it, that's apparently in some alley in a city.
Oh,
and
really?
They completely rewrote the scene and set it on a cliff. And I'm guessing at that point it was faster and cheaper to just green screen it. But that is the fakest looking two guys on a cliff I've seen in years.
It's not good.
And it was really bothersome to me. And of course, I'm the nitpicker.
Well, and plus, that's a heavy scene of exposition that doesn't really explain anything.
No.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
Odin's like, by the way, you have a sister. She's got powers. That's pretty much it. You know.
Well, don't worry, because he gets to come back whenever Thor needs an answer.
Yep.
And, you know, convenience dad.
Yeah.
Flash
memory. He's like Dumbledore in Harry Potter. You know, he's like, you
exactly.
know, anytime you need an answer, you just... You know, I don't know, you shine over to where he is and, you know, he can give you the right answer and everything. We were talking about this also, talking about the powers and everything like that. I still have a problem with the fact that Thor throws his hammer towards Hela and Hela's able to crush it.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, he has his Spaceballs moment where, like, you know, the
forget the ring. I got it from a Cracker Jack
right,
box.
Right, right. Where it's like, it's not the hammer so much. It's really what's inside of you that counts.
Schwartz.
Yes, exactly. So, like, Hela has shown to be an extremely powerful being. I actually sat there and thought, how are they going to kill her?
Mm-hmm.
How is there any chance of killing her in this? There's no way. She's shown all power. There's no weakness here.
That's because you didn't expect them to bring Jay Hernandez from Suicide Squad in at the end.
That's correct. That's correct. You mean Bad Moms, Jay Hernandez? So like later on when he's like, you know, by the power of Grayskull and gets his lightning and everything, he's able to like at least hurt Hela, and Hela is like got no answer for it and everything. And I'm like, if the same power that he uses by focusing through the hammer,
sure,
is that same power, then why does the hammer get smashed when she, how can she just grab that? Now I know, Barrett, you said that maybe he's calling something deeper. And that, you know, that it's not that with the hammer, he was using
limited.
That as a crutch. But I don't buy it.
No, I agree. I don't buy it either. But I don't buy it for the same reason that I didn't buy the end of Wonder Woman either.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of Wonder Woman is the same thing where she taps into this greater reserve in order to fight the God of War, you know, and it's just it is a kind of cheapened excuse or device to use to put them kind of on the even playing
field. I mean, how many movies has Thor been in before he gets to learn that he's got extra reserves that he can go all raiding on their asses.
At least five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was also, now maybe the movie explained this, because this is another one of those movies where my hearing difficulty really kind of got me, because there's a lot going on audio-wise that I didn't maybe necessarily catch. Mm. But the opening scene, Thor defeats Jay Hernandez. Yeah. And then at the end of the movie, how do we beat Hela? Let's bring in that guy that I easily defeated at the beginning of the movie. Mm. And that guy beats Hela and destroys Asgard.
Yeah, so the only, because it, they had to put his crown on the Eternal Flame. That was how that came about. That was the whole prophecy.
But that's how they brought him back.
That's how they brought him back. But it, when Thor defeated him, he didn't have that Eternal Flame. That's what he was using Thor
Jesus
to get
Christ.
To. That was the excuse. The movie.
Yeah.
Also, never have I thought Asgard was stupider with their collection of all the powerful trinkets.
Yeah.
Like, this is the most dangerous shit. Why would you do this?
Well, and also, and as you know, I was talking about with Aaron, and Aaron brought up was that, you know, he looks at the Tesseract,
right?
So he's going to have the Tesseract in his hands later on in the next movie. So, like, yeah, again, Thor is what is on to Loki this entire movie, and yet he's going to let him steal a goddamn Tesseract.
Go ahead and take care of this. Yeah. Well, and he also lets him 180 because he zaps him.
Yeah.
On the trash planet, the very next time he sees Loki, Loki has flipped. I'm just going to help you. I'm going to fight with you. I got on this ship with this rock guy, and now I'm good. No conflict there whatsoever. And then I'm going to come in at your crowning throne ceremony at the very end scene and stand there like your brother. And Thor's way smarter than that. Now, I'm sure the next movie will show Thor knew.
Yeah. He knew he was going to triple
but
cross
fuck
him.
Fuck that.
Well, of course, at the end of it, he knows that Loki's not going to be able to behave when they take him to Earth and all that. And, you know, I think what's funny about Thor is like, yeah, you'll act up, but we have the Avengers, so we're going to easily beat you, whatever.
And now they have the Revengers.
Indeed. The Revengers.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, so everybody's loving Jeff Goldblum in this movie.
Uh-huh.
I didn't hate him, but there's no character there. It's literally just play yourself. Just Goldblum it up. And I know I've already talked to Aaron about this, and he's like, I love it. I love Jeff Goldblum. Give me more. But for me, I was just like, you know, at one point, you were an actor.
Yeah.
Right? Now you're just doing the same guy you are in the commercials, but you have makeup on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wondering where he made that switch where he made the like the Christopher Walken type of switch where I'm just going to be playing this. And it may have been Jurassic Park because he's kind of been doing Jeff Goldblum
since Jurassic Park. He's not. There's a containment to it.
Yeah.
And then even in Lost World, there's a containment to it, and Independence Day and all that. So after that, there's not any major type of movie, I don't think, that just, you know, he suddenly,
he disappears into a role.
Right. Yeah. Like, so I don't know either. I think it's just to a point where an actor gets where it's like, we're hiring you to be Jeff Goldblum and he's cool with it because what else is he going to do? He's going to be in some hard hitting drama of some sort. You know, I think he's the type of actor that, you know, maybe we can't take seriously anymore after all that. As far as actors are concerned, I probably should have said this even in the spoilers, though. But I mean, the non-spoilers. But Tessa Thompson for me is just fucking amazing in this movie.
She's great.
Yeah.
She was my favorite part.
I love it, and I just read a story that she and a whole bunch of other Marvel women decided to go to the studio and say, "Hey, we need to have an all women's Marvel movie."
Good luck convincing the studio to do that.
I don't know, man. You put some of these women in there, it should do well. If you put Marvel on the fucking thing, people will go watch.
I don't know. Okay, I may slightly disagree. It depends on how they go about it, because right now the most prominent ones, female heroes they have in the MCU are Black Widow, now this girl, who this is her first movie. I guess we had Lady Sif a couple of times in Thor movies. She could come back.
Yeah.
We're going to get a Captain Marvel movie in 2.5-3 years. So I don't know if you just throw a bunch of hot women in superhero roles together in an ensemble that alone is going to draw people in.
I'm fucking there.
Not if okay, Black Widow's one of the stars. I'm not.
Well, Scarlet no,
still
Witch,
there.
Though.
Still there.
Okay, well, you enjoy it.
Still there. Scarlett Johansson, I'll watch her in anything.
I've seen her in 50 things. I don't need to see her do Black Widow again.
Maybe they give her a reason to do something better than she's done.
Well, that
in
would
the
be
Avengers.
Excellent. Actually, talking to Dicer, you know, one of the things that he and I think works best about Thor Ragnarok is the freedom they did give the director to kind of be himself, which almost seems rare these days for a Marvel film, mm-hmm. especially with all the stories we've heard. And I quipped back, yeah, go ahead and make a Black Widow movie as long as you get the guy from Raid and the Raid 2 to direct. And he was true. Like, exactly. So, yeah, you want to take you take Black Widow in a different direction, fine. You know, I just don't. God, I'm going to.
You're the reason why there's not going to be a women's Marvel movie because of that.
Now,
right
wait,
there.
Now, wait. I'm willing to admit I'm being negative, but I don't want to cross over into just being straight up sexist. There has to be a movie reason for yes. them to all team up together.
That's true.
It cannot simply be, let's do the all-female Avengers.
Do you really think, though, that Tessa Thompson's going to the studio and say, hey, let's just throw these people in a mixer bowl and let's just make it call it an hour and a half movie and let's cash in and then leave.
I do not.
That may be what they're hearing, though.
I don't think they necessarily had a story they took to them.
I think you have to have some kind of story floating around to be able to say. Now, maybe she did. Maybe she said, hey, let's get all the women in and didn't have any idea. Maybe.
I don't know.
It's a possibility. But
I mean, if it happens, I'll judge it on its merit. Yeah. I just, you know, it sounds a little bit politically correct.
Well, no, hey, I see where you're coming from because she's introduced beautifully. She's yes. you know, she's downing this bottle and just fucking falls off of the ramp. And everything. Yes. One of the greatest moments in the movie. But then towards the end, she's not really shown doing anything Valkyrie-ish that's any.
She puts on the outfit.
More, yeah, she puts on the outfit and she slices up a few like no-name Death Eaters or whatever. But like she's not shown doing anything exceptional. You know, relative to the rest of her stuff.
Remember, so. We also have Gamora. We have Gamora too.
So. Oh yeah, yeah. She's.
I guess what I'm saying is, don't separate these females from their current crew just to give me an all female team up. Like, you can have a man in there
just to do it. No, I'm not interested in.
Okay,
that.
Good. All right, we're on the same page more than I thought.
No, I just feel like it's wrong to poo poo it immediately just because we think that's what they're gonna do with it. And we don't know that. We don't know any. Now, if they do make a movie and it turns out to be just total bullshit, then yeah, that's what they did. And, you know, I don't believe that they would do that, though.
I hope not.
I mean, I do think as much as I haven't been a fan of about 75% of these movies that have come out, I do still believe Marvel has some sense of planning when they do these
things. I'm sure they do. Yeah. Yeah. No, they've been planning it.
And if they did it, it would be 3 years from now. It wouldn't be like next year or anything like that. Anyway, long detour. Sorry about that.
We like long detours. Yeah. I was talking a little bit about some of the humor not working for me. An example that just came to my mind is like that when Thor leaves to go to the back of the ship and leaves Banner to fly the ship. Mm-hmm. And Banner's just like, oh, I don't know how to fly an alien spaceship. And then he flies it perfectly for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't have it both ways.
I thought Banner was weird, and it there's an explanation for it. But Banner's shown to be this very self-assured, you know, of course he's got the Hulk issue that he's trying to mitigate. But, like, he's a basket case in this movie.
He is.
And I think, obviously, it's because he's been Hulk for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's kind of fried his brains.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd like to see more of, like, you know, the smart man and that can, like, think through situations and things like that. It does pay off by that awesome moment where he jumps off the ship and just thuds right on Rainbow.
Yes.
Although, I have to ask, I'm sorry, that was a big laugh, and I laughed out loud at that. But how does that work?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I guess if he's angry enough, he can turn into Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets hurt enough, he can turn into Hulk. But he should be putty. Like, all of his bones should be broken.
Yep.
And but somehow Hulk rises out of that, and later on down the road, will turn back into Banner, and all his bones will be fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't understand
it. It's purely for the laugh.
I definitely didn't understand that either. I mean, I'm sure that there's some sort of weird comic book explanation that, you know, well, even as Banner, he has ability to survive shit, or he was in the middle of his transformation or some bullshit like that. You know, something to write it off or whatever. But yeah, that's the funniest part of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this. Would you rather have that question and laugh out loud like that, or would you rather them say, well, he can't survive that?
Yeah, that's the trade-off.
Well, no, I agree. I laughed out loud. I enjoyed it. It just feels like we write around the specifics when we need a good joke or an action moment. And that's why we end up with the people punching each other at the climax of a lot of these movies.
Well, God bless it for Sin's videos.
I will say the biggest laugh I had in the entire experience was for a trailer before the movie. I hope you guys saw this trailer.
We only saw like two.
Yeah, I saw two or three.
Did you see any with Chris Hemsworth as a soldier?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. So this trailer plays out like Lone Survivor.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere in the Middle East, got separated from the rest of the army, Hemsworth and his unit. And they have to go over this pass. I guess it's Afghanistan. And the guide is saying, oh, you can only do it on horseback. And there's a clip of Hemsworth saying, how many of y'all know how to ride? And they don't know how to ride. And then it's just a bunch more action and shooting. And I promised my wife I'd come home to her and blah, 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 blah. And then it goes to the title screen and the title says, I can't even remember the title of the movie. It's like 12 Strong. The Declassified True Story of the Horse Soldiers. And I swear to God, I laughed out loud. 50 people in that auditorium heard me go, because it was so... I turned to my friend Jason and I said, I hope to hell that is an official subtitle for this movie. The Declassified True Story of the Horse Soldiers? And there's even a shot in the trailer where it's straight out of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Like, Hemsworth might as well be Caesar riding a... one-arming a machine gun while he's riding a horse. Oh my God, it was so funny.
Wow, I can't wait
unintentionally
for that.
Funny.
The IMDb says it's just 12 Strong. The movie comes out in January, never a good sign. Mm-hmm.
One question I had about this movie, it kind of sets it up to where Doctor Strange owns everybody, right? Because he fucking schools Thor in every way.
Well,
he's got to be the most powerful dude out there, right?
See, that's just, you're fighting a losing battle there.
I know.
Because then you got Vision with the Mind Stone who could melt the universe.
Yeah. I'm just saying that in this movie, it sets up Strange to just be like... Thor's nothing to him. If he
I
could
agree.
Do all this shit to him.
It was also really obviously tacked in. Uh-huh. Like, oh, we got to find a way to get another Marvel guy in here, or we got to get Doctor Strange's reputation built up before Infinity War. So let's throw him into the beginning of this movie.
That's the only part of this movie that I thought was a little bit tacked on. But it's another entertaining scene.
It is because he fucks with Thor good.
Yeah, he takes him to all these different places. And I also love the fact that when Thor is calling his umbrella, it starts smashing all over the place.
And he's like, sorry.
And then you've got Loki, he opens the portal for Loki and he's like, I've been falling for 35 minutes.
Okay, that's funny. But again, my sin brain turned on there. And that was way longer than 30 minutes. Because Thor had to go all the way from wherever the fuck to even get to that house and then do the whole scene with Dr. Strange. So Loki should have been falling for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Nitpicky. That was still very funny.
But Jeremy, now it's beginning to sound like you bring your sin brain into the movie.
No.
And
this is afterwards, post-reflection.
Ah, okay.
When I'm looking back and I go, 30 minutes? Didn't really do all that in 30? I don't think so. It's a good joke. Mm-hmm. Would have been a better joke if you'd have said 60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just would have made more sense.
Or 2 hours.
Or 2.5 hours.
Yeah. That's why they should run this shit by us first.
Yeah, no.
No. They should never run shit by us, ever. No.
I was on the phone with my mom the other day. I was telling her about how I was going to go to the Critics' Choice Awards with Dicer. And I was like, I'm going to be in the room with all these famous people and all these professional movie critics. And she was like, well, you're a professional movie critic, aren't you? And I was like, no. How can that be your understanding of what I do? Oh, God, don't tell people that. Is that what you've been telling people?
By the way, I love that, how that's a criticism of CinemaSins a lot of times. Well, if they followed the things that CinemaSins brings up, they'd never make movies. That's the fucking point. Yeah.
Nice.
Oh man, what else do we have to say about this movie?
You know, that trash planet reminded me of the Transformers, the movie.
Oh, yes.
It reminded me so much of that. And it's crazy to me. This is how my brain works. Okay. So Dare to Be Stupid plays during the Transformers trash planet thing. And we have Mark Mothersbaugh, who is a Devo guy. Uh-huh. That Dare to Be Stupid song is a based off of a Devo thing.
Yep.
So like I had that going through my, that had to be an homage to that scene. It had to be.
Interesting.
It must be, especially that last, we actually stayed for the post-credit shit.
Yeah, suckers.
I don't know. But
I only did it because I was doing the Aaron Dizer thing.
Yeah, yeah. But that last shot of Jeff Goldblum getting off of the ship and everything, and they're right in the middle of the trash stuff, that looked like it was exactly out of the Transformers
movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Transformers, the movie.
By the way, we'll probably end up doing like a bonus round of how many times Valkyrie is drinking in this movie. Like every scene has to show her like with her elbow bent and like drinking something. Now the drinking's pretty funny, but it's also like every time they cut away to her, they got to show her like drinking. And it's like, yeah, get it. She's alcoholic. Yeah. You got it.
Speaking of cutaways, what did you guys think about that weird 300 moment where Loki has her remember the end of the Valkyries? You know what I'm talking about?
It was very 300-y.
Yes, it was.
I thought it was awesome, though. I thought it looked amazing. I didn't think... It did remind me of Zack Snyder slow motion type of stuff. But I thought it just looked really cool.
It did look pretty cool. I'm not... I mean, it looked kind of like art.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the ending of this. I liked the fact that they decided that instead of trying to battle this big huge demon, they actually go by this prophecy. Now I don't like prophecies in movies, especially for the reasons why because they're always true. Where do they come from? who makes these prophecies?
Yeah.
And then like, and they're always true, and so like, you know, that they're like, well, I guess we're going to have to actually let Ragnarok destroy this. And yeah, there is that Odin moment where it's this sort of ex machina comes in and is like, you know, Asgard is what you make of it. It's the people, not the place and all that. But what I really, really liked about that whole thing. Now, this scene would have played better had it been Hela and Thor talking instead of her and Carl Urban, who kind of gets sort of lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, no
all
kidding.
This.
He's a weird character.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's actually Carl Urban?
It was.
Yeah. It took me about half the movie to recognize that.
Because the whole movie, just like, this guy wants to be Carl Urban so bad.
Yeah. He plays Scourge or whatever it is.
I believe you. Uh-huh. Like, you're two of my best friends. I trust you. I'm still struggling to believe you right now.
Yeah. It's definitely Carl Urban. It's Ghost Ships Carl Urban.
Jesus.
Carl Urban kind of gets lost in this, but there's a scene where Hela is talking to Carl Urban and like she says that gold that's right there, you know how many people we had to kill to get that and everything, basically lays the blueprints for saying Asgard, as cool of a place as you may think it is and it's home and all that, was built on a lot of like dead bodies and stuff.
Yeah,
and
shady shit happened.
Yeah. Now I wish it had been Hela and Thor, because then the decision for Thor to say, yeah, fuck Asgard, let's make our own Asgard, would have been a little bit more, would have made more sense.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But for the viewer, if you're paying attention to that scene, you realize, oh, okay, yeah, they can get rid of this. This is not something to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
So I did enjoy the fact that they decided to let the prophecy go, because the prophecy is basically saying, let this happen, go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do.
I thought for sure, and I'm glad they didn't give the movie props for not going the cliched route, but I thought for sure Thor was going to sacrifice himself and let Hela kill him at the end, knowing he would be reborn a la the Out of the Ashes, Ragnarok, Phoenix bullshit, because she's the goddess of death.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they don't really make a whole lot of that. They call her that a bunch, but, you know, I was so sure a major death was coming that was going to be undone in a credit scene or some shit with Thor opening his eyes or whatever.
Yeah, she doesn't kill a whole lot of people. I mean, they have that first scene with the soldiers attacking her and everything, But then, like, she just kind of cools it out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how she doesn't know that there's this big contention over there until somebody tells him, who also doesn't die, even though dude's in mid, you know, executioner swipe.
Yeah.
But we haven't even mentioned Idris Elba in this.
Yeah.
I think that's always a welcome addition. I like his character, even though he's got dreads now.
And I could be completely wrong, but I thought he also died in one of the... I thought he died in Dark World or one of those.
I can't keep it straight.
I can't either.
He got frozen in the first one.
Yeah.
But then apparently he
lived through that. It doesn't matter. Even if he did die, and see, all these characters are going to come back somehow, some way. You know, that was... That's just the way of these movies, but yeah, I thought he was dead. So when I saw him, I was like, okay, well, I mean, I mean, if he's not, I guess I'll accept it because they always find a way. They're gods after all.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah,
you're not the god of Hamas.
Yeah. So yeah, overall, I think we all liked it. There's some obvious reservations here and there about some things. There's some stupidity, whatever, but. Overall, I think when I look at this movie, I just look at it is an overall well done comedy. I'm glad that it's away from all the other Avengers stuff.
Yeah.
It really just felt comfortable watching this movie. So in the end, that's why I gave it an A-, is because I was able to sort of forgive a lot of the stuff that I normally wouldn't in a more bad movie.
Yeah.
In a badder movie.
Yeah. Yes.
And this is going to be the breath that we take. I guess this and Black Panther are going to be the breath that we take until they get really heavy.
And that Black Panther trailer looks awesome.
That's a great trailer, man.
Yeah. I'm way more pumped than I ever thought I would be for a character I didn't know existed until like a year and a half ago.
Right.
I never even heard of that character, but man, I'm in. It looks cool. Now, his suit's awesome.
Yeah.
I did get a question on Facebook from someone who's either from Australia or New Zealand or something like that. And they asked, did some of the humor not register for us because he seemed to feel like, or he or she, I can't remember if it's a he or she, seemed to think that there was a lot of like region specific comedy in there with New Zealand and everything with Taika Waititi and everything. I don't recall there being anything that we as Americans couldn't get in there.
No. I mean, obviously, and it's all deadpan, but I love that show.
Right. I don't know what in particular they're talking about as far as the region specifics of it or whatever. Maybe there's some stuff that just flew over our head and we didn't even register it as a joke or whatever, but for the most part I'm laughing my ass off from a lot of it,
especially the stuff with the rock guy.
Yeah, and
you know, we tried to do a revolution but we didn't print out enough pamphlets.
Yeah. So great. That was one of the lines, man. Holy crap. Didn't print enough pamphlets.
This is why. Okay, so that's probably one of my favorite characters in this whole movie. And I hope, if we're going to throw everybody in an Infinity War, that guy better get at least one line.
He better
be able to turn to Rocket and go, hey, we're going to hop on this ship. But I did read, and this is where, you know, Marvel was damned if they do and damned if they don't. But apparently in the comics, that character is a much bigger deal. Huh. And the movie is sort of playing him off childlike and almost dumb, whereas in the comics, he's not like... I saw some offended people. Some people that were offended he'd been boiled down to. But me, not knowing anything about it, that's my favorite character in the whole damn movie.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is our review. We all, I think...
Yeah, you should go watch it.
It's fine. I encourage you to watch it.
Yeah. That will, let's see. Well, we can keep going to Facebook. Go to the Sincast presented by CinemaSins Facebook page. Keep going to SoundCloud. Keep going to Twitter on our CinemaSins page. Sound off on what you thought about this movie. And try to keep it spoiler free for other people.
Yeah. Oh, good point. Yeah.
Anyway, that'll do it for this mini-pod.
Mini-pod.
It's Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott and Barrett Sher. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Like, the whole thing is this, like, blowjob to Stephen King.
Here's my cinematic belief.
Which is funny because he strikes me as like maybe the one person on the earth who'd be the least impressed by a blowjob.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he probably
I'm
is.
I'm unimpressed.
Yeah. Can you just imagine him standing there and there's this girl vigorously blowing him and he's just like, nope.
Shaking his head.
This isn't doing anything.
Flipping channels on the
Look,
TV.
Look, I'm not gay, but this just isn't doing anything for me.
I keep my browser tabs open when I'm doing like sin videos and stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the shit is just so weird. Like I've got King Missile's detachable penis.
Yes. Pulled up. Is that the name of the band?
King Missile is the name of the band and they had a song called Detachable
Penis. Oh, I remember the song.
But so I was like, oh, I want to do an outtake with a King Crimson song.
Which is what I wrote.
Did you really?
Yeah. When they,
but then I mistook King Crimson for King Missile, so I ended up listening to Detachable Penis. Yeah.
Why not King's X?
Yeah. Give me a dollar.